Chapter 9, The Myth of Stewardship, 2024. How I can lie to myself? How can I lie to myself? Let me count the ways. The whole world believes it's right. It's not right. Everybody in it has a story of how good they are. And even in challenging times, people describe how they are premier examples of correctness. They're not. Nobody truly believes they're going to hell. Even though very few actually truly believe in Christ, the Bible is clear about that. Now, there are those people that think it's a really good idea that they're going to hell because it's a really good idea. Those people are also incorrect. It is not a good idea. Jesus doesn't only reference hell. He describes it in great detail. He says it is a place of eternal torment, Luke 16:23, of unquenchable fire, Mark 9:43, where the worm does not die, Mark 9:48, where people will gnash their teeth in anguish and regret. When Jesus tells us what we will say to those who are going to hell, then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, Matthew 7:23. They are workers of lawlessness. That is, they break God's law. Sin is against God first, then man. Wow, we could spend a whole day talking about that. I didn't make it up. I didn't make this stuff up. I'm just telling you what it says. All people without the book invent a belief system that is not in line with the book. Maybe even not even in line with, you know what? They may even invent a way of dealing with God in it, a version of God also invented. It's a fact. I know. I did it. I said it, and I was wrong. A rebel is not one who does not believe in God. That's not a rebel, or one who does not read the Bible. That's not a rebel. A rebel is a true believer who reads the book and believes in God, and the world resents every part of anyone who is truly of Christ, fully and completely. Romans 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart from the gospel. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. What was that? That means you believe. You believe. And this is the fact. Jesus came to do all that. You believe that. Does the world believe? Well, they've made some adjustments to it, you know. Made some adjustments, you know. I read terrible things in my Bible studies. Terrible things that the world says about heaven and hell, and they don't exist, and all that, and quit worrying about it, and blah, blah, blah. You worry about it. Believers who go to church every Sunday, preachers, teachers, pastors, priests, may or may not actually believe everything in the Bible. Yeah. If a person doesn't read it every day, it's easy to fill in the blanks. Or listen to somebody else's idea of God, spirituality, whatever. It's easy. It doesn't change the fact that it's incorrect. If they burned every Bible in the world, it doesn't make it incorrect. However, left unchecked, people miss the point. Most of their lives, they miss the point. And most are still absolutely sure about their place in heaven. I'm a good person. Based on information put together from numerous sources in the world rather than the Bible. The only book that has the answer. Oh, how do I know that's true? Well, I did it the other way. The other way was wrong. It was just simply wrong. Is the Bible just simply right? Yeah, the Bible's just simply right. Romans 2:19-21. If you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, everybody in the world thinks they're so smart, right? Well, if you're sure, you're a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? Yeah, this is talking to the world. If you think you're so groovy, Take a look at yourself. All the nations of the world have reorganized the concept of God until it is hardly recognizable to any prophet or person that lived in the time of Jesus or even 18 centuries before Jesus in the time of Abraham. The word, as read and adhered to by the founding fathers of this nation, those who quoted scripture in stone in our capital, on the walls of our capital, on the walls of our colleges across the nation, all of them would be mortified as to what our children do not know about God. The building blocks of America, written in the Pledge of Allegiance, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We are a republic. We hear all the time about a democratic society. We hear all about that. Democracy. Democracy without a republic would be very bad. Why? That means the big states would have all the votes with most people. What is a republic? You should look it up. The republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Chapter 9, myth of stewardship is a place that resides on the outskirts of town in a city called the Black Forest, I call it, where lies, untruths, unholy notions are supported, condoned, and participated, all in the name of a higher source of spirituality. Beware lest you fall into the trap. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. 1 Peter 2:16, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Oh, wouldn't it be great if we heard the government talk that, right? I didn't make it up. I'm just telling you what it says. Stewardship is a blessing. The myth of stewardship is when somehow, some way, I buy it. A bill of goods that is spoiled, sick, poison, and I buy it. This is like my vitamins. Bamboozling what is God to myself and others. Gathering into the club of what is the unrighteous. Talking as if I am something when in fact I am nothing. James 3:8. But no one among mankind can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior, his deeds, and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. The truth. Who's the truth? Jesus is the truth. Well, our example of perfect stewardship. What about that? We know about being a creep. I know all about that. I'm a professional. I was an overachiever in my class. Our example of perfect stewardship, the word. The word. I found it. Found it. What was the opposite of me? Well, it's what I wanted to be. It's what I strive to do. Humbled by my weakness, but I strive. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Can I do that all the time? I try. Is it hard? Yeah, come on. Did I ever think I'd be talking like this? Come on, no. When I was in high school, doing all the stupid things I did in high school, I was thinking, I'm going to be this guy? No. Did I think Billy Graham was my hero when I was in my 20s? No. I didn't even know what a Billy Graham was. Where does the myth of stewardship begin? Where does it begin? In my head. But, of course, all over the place. Including my head. It's an equal opportunity employer. Let's look at some easy examples. A person banked $1 million in sales. Right? Oh, sounds fabulous. Amazing comes to mind. Really? What is the margin, if any? What's the tax liability? Has it been calculated and set aside? Tithes, has anyone thought of such a thing? Church every Sunday? Maybe. What was done while attending? Notes taken? Maybe. Attention paid? Maybe. Study and recap through the week? Ministries that need help? Chairs? New people? Volunteers? Prison ministry? Street ministry? Worship team? Anything like that happening? For a few, it is. For many, in the name of good person and a list of important matters that must be tended to, the many walk away from God's promise. Given at the cross in the blood of Christ, in the name of everything that's important, the pettiness of the world, even in the supposed belief of Christ, is seen so many times when the blessed, even the clergy, throw a 20 into the basket on Sunday, right? Threw a 20 into the basket, feeling complete about the service one is giving to the church, while talking of the money-hungry television pastors, albeit who are crooked to the cord, but what do they got to do with you? They have virtually nothing to do with the local church and the responsibilities I have to God in it. In comparison, how much money's put towards the business? Threw a 20 in on Sunday to the church, but how many hundreds of thousands of dollars are put towards the almighty business? How much debt is justified to grow a business? Hundreds of millions of dollars. At what cost to the family? How much time is put towards the business? Justified as the future. Is the business the future? Or is God the future? Luke 12:19. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I want you to take that in. This is a guy who saved up everything. Yeah? He saved up everything. He saved up all the grain for years to come. He packed his silos full of grain. He can kick back. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool. This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Yeah, think about that, will you? Luke 12:19-21. Evil is a tricky business. It causes perception issues. Perception wastes time. Causes perception issues about what's important. Causes dissension, division. They're much more important than what is true many, many times. Selfish, money, prestige, ego, power, a dangerous, slippery slope for true believers and everybody else. But everybody else doesn't care. True believers do it in the name of the Lord. It's biblical. I'm preparing for the future by blah, blah, blah. Perceived importance easily is the mother of myth of stewardship. Ephesians 5:15. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do you understand, kids, what I'm saying? I'm saying there's a great peace waiting for you. There's a great gift, great promises waiting for you, but we are so busy doing everything else. Proverbs 5:21, your ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all your paths. So talk to him. Tell him, hey, what do you think? You got a friend in Jesus. Yeah. Is it easy? No. You're the, as far as the world's concerned, you're the rebel. Right? The world is about take care of, feel good while you can. You only live once. Do what feels good. Do it. Feeling good. Only live once. People are in trouble, simply want to get out of trouble and get back to being important. Without changing dangerous personality traits, the original set of problems will be repeated. Yeah. Without changing your personality traits, the original set of problems will be repeated. Arrogance, indignant, and entitlement plague most CEOs. It is an invisible assassin and will ultimately cause an interruption in what could have been a dazzling show of God's blessings. The unfortunate end is negligence. immaturity, and the worst, indignation. If you don't get a boat full of truth in your head, what do you think's going to fill up in there? You know, a vacuum, when you pull the plug on a vacuum, it fills up with something. If your kids don't eat good food, they'll eat a bunch of junk. So will your brain. And the unfortunate end is negligence, immaturity, and the worst, indignation. The myth of stewardship is just that, an incorrect assessment of oneself. Not a steward at all. Rather, a prisoner of self-will run riot in the name of I'm important, I'm a good person, I'm going to heaven. Yeah, can happen to anybody. There but for the grace of God go I? Yeah, go I, went I. That's where I lived. Look, the only thing that stands in the way of cash flow, positive or negative, is your behavior. It's not, you're not a victim of anything. COVID, this, that, the other thing. It's you. It's me. As captured by the 19th century British politician Lord Acton, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And you are absolutely in charge of your life. Does that tell you something? Without correct checks and balances, a foolish nature prevails always. The consequences for incorrect assessment is the squander of God's blessings. Yeah, incorrect assessment, you squander the blessings, the power that God gave you. What do you need to know? You need to know phrases like justified by faith. What's that mean? Made righteous by God. What's that mean? Sanctification. What's that mean? Look it up, man. Well, understand what it means. It's huge. If those words mean something to you, conversation will be different. Relationships and wisdom will become authentic. Acceptance in God's directives and a sincere desire to work will yield what? A peace beyond all understanding. Philippians 4:7. Yielding to correctness, realizing I am not the resource. God is the resource. Luke 12:15, and he said to him, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. That pretty much says it for all of us, right? The myth of stewardship is a tool used precisely by the enemy to ruin. Without constant training and awareness, I may think I'm doing a good job. When I think that, I'm in dangerous waters. Why? Because John 10:10, without scripture, I'm thinking about me and what I think is a good idea. And pretty soon I think God thinks it's a good idea because I think it's a good idea. Pretty soon I start praying about it. God, give me the strength to do my good idea because you know it's a good idea. Pretty soon, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's what Jesus says. Pick Jesus, not the thief. Well, I didn't pick the thief. Well, we don't think we did, but we inadvertently, the myth, get it? The myth of stewardship. I think I'm being a good something. It's clearly fueled by ego, arrogance, lack of humility, or a broken heart. Yeah, a broken heart can cause such mayhem. Angry at God for the horrors that happen in this world, or to me, or to you, or to those I love. Understandable. That's understandable. And it's hard to fight against this stuff. I'm not saying this is easy. It's hard. It's hard to follow Christ. It's hard. However, the myth generally finds its victims wanting credit, power, prestige, all perceived, not real. You can't get it for real without God, perhaps forgetting the compass heading given to each of us by the Lord. Perhaps forgetting to give all credit to the Lord, not some of it or part of it, but all of it. Well, I thought of a great idea today, and I'm going to do the blah, blah, blah. Look, it's the world. It's not easy to get around this stuff. 2 Peter 1, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's so many words right there. What it pounds to is, man, if you don't pay attention to God, If you don't pay attention to the ways that Jesus said to go, you'll get lost. Who wants to get lost? I'm sure Judas thought he was doing a great job when he turned Christ over to the authorities for 30 bucks. I'm sure Pharaoh thought he was doing a great job, great steward to Egypt in his decision not to let the Israelites free. I'm sure King Saul thought himself justified in disobeying the Lord for 40 years. And I'm sure David felt himself a good steward to Israel when he stole Bathsheba from her husband Uriah the Hittite. All realizing too late the error of fraud, myth of stewardship, the lie of importance. Now David recovered. Saul, Judas, not so much. We pray for America, man. I'm sure everybody up there in Capitol Hill thinks they're doing the right thing. We pray for America, right? We pray for America. We pray for God in America. We must stay ever vigilant. I remember back in the day, the rock band The Who. You remember those guys? The Who? You ever hear of those guys? Probably not. You guys are all young. Reminds me of this chapter written way back in June 1971. I'm ever so mindful of it today. Dig these lyrics. I tip my hat to the new Constitution, take a bow for the new revolution, smile and grin at the change all around, pick up my guitar and play. Just like yesterday, I'll get on my knees and pray we don't get fooled again. Oh yeah, baby. We don't get fooled again. 2 Corinthians 2:11, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Stay close to the book, so Satan might not outwit us. That's if we're on top of our game. Pay attention, my friends. Be aware. Pray for America, Israel, and for revival, knowing full-heartedly that Scripture says these things will happen before Christ comes. It says things are going to get rowdy before Jesus comes. It's going to get bad. 2 Timothy 3:2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. All this stuff's going to happen. It's happening right now. Don't kid yourself about how you got where you are. You got where you are in the middle of this crazy, terrible world. You are okay. Or who has the power to move you correctly? Paul warns all of us. Who has the power to move you correctly? You move you correctly. God. Move you correctly, not incorrectly. Correctly. You have the power to move you incorrectly, right? So do I, right? Paul warns all of us, clarifying chapter 9 for me. In the following scripture, he was bound and shackled in prison, writing to the Philippians. Hey, he's writing a note to his buddies while he's all shackled, right? This guy's clear. This guy's got a peace beyond all understanding. I'm telling you, Philippians 1:15. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. He's saying there's a lot of them out there talking against Jesus, but at least they're talking about Jesus. And he's also saying, but I'm talking about the truth of Jesus. So I rejoice. Because Christ is still in, he's out there. And Christ said he came. He was a rebel. He caused division. Oh yeah, dissension. Christ said he would come, cause trouble. He did. So what exactly is the myth of stewardship? What exactly, if I had to put it in a word, huh? So we wrap this up. What's the myth of stewardship if I had to think of it? You know, kind of a thumbnail along the way. What can I think of it? Simply put in a word, what is the myth of stewardship? Poison. What was that, Pat? Poison. The myth of stewardship is poison. I used to say it was fraud. Fraud means you kind of made a mistake, you know, like that was incorrect. You misrepresented. Yeah, you misrepresented. Misrepresented truth. In this case, what is it? Poison. You misrepresented poison for truth. It's much easier to pay attention, don't you think? How do I call it like it is? truthfully, honestly, when I see it a different way. How do I do that? How do I do that? Great question. I've asked myself that so far. The best answer I've got, well, Scripture. How do I know when it's God's will? All of that, right? Blah, 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 blah. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God, freely given to us by God, that we might understand things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. What's that mean? That means stop asking everybody else. Well, I kind of put together a little of this belief and a little of that belief, and I came up with something here. And every day I pray to who? What? I came up with, it's in the Bible. Long story short, I leave you with this. Chapter 9, Myth of Stewardship, 2024. Psalm 46, 10. He says, in times of conflict, I say, stay the course, unless you're full of baloney. And how do you know? Psalm 46, 10, he says. Isn't this too simple? It just makes me crazy. It makes me crazy. Is it too simple? Psalms 46, 10, he says, be still and know that I am God. Wow, that about sums it up. Chapter 9, The Myth of Stewardship, 2024. Amen, amen. John, let's do what we do and get these people back to work.